The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Continuing in Part 2, The Yoga of Integral Knowledge, Chapter 15, The Cosmic Consciousness, mid-page 413. But by entering into the cosmic consciousness, we begin to participate in that all vision and see everything in the values of the infinite and the one. Limitation itself, ignorance itself, change their meaning for us. Ignorance changes into a particularizing action of divine knowledge. Strength and weakness and incapacity change into a free putting forth and holding back various measures of divine force. Joy and grief, pleasure and pain change into a mastering and a suffering of divine delight. Struggle, losing its discords, becomes a balancing of forces and values in the divine harmony. We do not then suffer by the limitations of our mind, life, and body, for we no longer live in these, even when we record and accept them, but in the infinity of the Spirit. And these we view in their right value and place and purpose in the manifestation, as degrees of the Supreme Being, conscious force, and delight of Satchidananda veiling and manifesting himself in the cosmos. We cease also to judge other men and things by their outward appearances, and are delivered from hostile and contradictory ideas and emotions. For it is the soul that we see, the divine that we seek and find in everything and creature. And the rest has only a secondary value to us in a scheme of relations which exist now for us only as self-expressions of the divine, and not as having any absolute value in themselves. So, too, no event can disturb us, since the distinction of happy and unhappy, beneficent and maleficent happenings loses its force, and all is seen in its divine value and its divine purpose. Thus we arrive at a perfect liberation and an infinite equality. It is this consummation of which the Upanishad speaks when it says, "He, in whom the self has become all existences, how shall he have delusion? Whence shall he have grief, who knows entirely and sees in all things oneness?" Vijnana is the knowledge of the one and the many, by which the many are seen in the terms of the one, in the infinite unifying truth, right, vast, of the divine existence. But this can be only when there is perfection in the cosmic consciousness. And that is difficult for the mental being. The mentality, when it arrives at the idea or the realization of the Spirit, the divine, tends to break existence into two opposite halves, the lower and the higher existence. It sees on one side the infinite, the formless, the one, the peace and bliss, the calm and silence, the absolute, the vast and pure. On the other, it sees the finite, the world of forms, the jarring multiplicity, the strife and suffering, and imperfect, unreal good, the tormented activity and futile success, the relative, the limited, and vain and vile. To those who make this division and this opposition, complete liberation is only attainable in the peace of the One, in the featurelessness of the Infinite, in the non-becoming of the Absolute, which is to them the only real being. To be free, all values must be destroyed. All limitations, not only transcended, but abolished. They have the liberation of the divine rest, but not the liberty of the divine action. They enjoy the peace of the transcendent, but not the cosmic bliss of the transcendent. Their liberty depends upon abstention from the cosmic movement. It cannot dominate and possess cosmic existence itself. But it is also possible for them to realize and participate in the immanent as well as the transcendent peace. Still, the division is not cured. The liberty they enjoy is that of the silent, unacting witness, not the liberty of the divine master consciousness, which possesses all things, delights in all, casts itself into all forms of existence without fear of fall, or loss, or bondage, or stain. All the rights of the spirit are not yet possessed. There is still a denial, a limitation, a holding back from the entire oneness of all existence. The workings of mind, life, body, are viewed from the calm and peace of the spiritual planes of the mental being, and are filled with that calm and peace. They are not possessed by and subjected to the law of the all-mastering spirit. All this is when the mental being takes its station in its own spiritual planes, in the mental planes of Sat, Chit, Ananda, and casts down their light and delight upon the lower existence. But there is possible the attempt at a kind of cosmic consciousness by dwelling on the lower planes themselves after breaking their limitations laterally, as we have said, and then calling down into them the light and largeness of the higher existence. Not only spirit is one, but mind, life, matter are one. There is one cosmic mind, one cosmic life, one cosmic body. All the attempt of man to arrive at universal sympathy, universal love, and the understanding and knowledge of the inner soul of other existences is an attempt to beat thin, breach, and eventually break down, by the power of the enlarging mind and heart, the walls of the ego, and arrive nearer to a cosmic oneness. And if we can, by the mind and heart, get at the touch of the spirit, receive the powerful inrush of the divine into this lower humanity, and change our nature into a reflection of the divine nature by love, by universal joy, by oneness of mind with all nature and all beings, we can break down the walls. Even our bodies are not really separate entities, and therefore our very physical consciousness is capable of oneness with the physical consciousness of others and of the cosmos. The yogin is able to feel his body one with all bodies, to be aware of and even to participate in their affections. He can feel constantly the unity of all matter and be aware of his physical being is only a movement in its movement. Jagat Yam Jagat, Isha Upanishad. Still more is it possible for him to feel constantly and normally the whole sea of the infinite life as his true vital existence, and his own life as only a wave of that boundless surge. And more easily yet is it possible for him to unite himself in mind and heart with all existences, be aware of their desires, struggles, joys, sorrows, thoughts, impulses, in a sense as if they were his own, at least as occurring in his larger self hardly less intimately or quite as intimately as the movements of his own heart and mind. This too is a realization of cosmic consciousness. It may even seem as if it were the greatest oneness, since it accepts all that we can be sensible of in the mind-created world as our own. Sometimes one sees it spoken of as the highest achievement. Certainly it is a great realization and the path to a greater. It is that which the Gita speaks of as the accepting of all existences as if oneself, whether in grief or in joy. It is the way of sympathetic oneness and infinite compassion which helps the Buddhist to arrive at his nirvana. Still, there are gradations and degrees. In the first stage, the soul is still subject to the reactions of the duality, still subject, therefore, to the lower prakriti. It is depressed or hurt by the cosmic suffering, elated by the cosmic joy. We suffer the joys of others, suffer their griefs, and this oneness can be carried even into the body, as in the story of the Indian saint who, seeing a bullock tortured in the field by its cruel owner, cried out with the creature's pain, and the wheel of the lash was found reproduced on his own flesh. But there must be a oneness with Satchidananda in his freedom as well as with the subjection of the lower being to the reactions of prakriti. This is achieved when the soul is free and superior to the cosmic reactions, which are then felt only in the life, mind, and body, and as an inferior movement. The soul understands, accepts the experience, sympathizes, but is not overpowered or affected, so that at last even the mind and body learn also to accept without being overpowered or even affected, except on their surface. And the consummation of this movement is when the two spheres of existence are no longer divided, and the mind, life, and body, obeying utterly the higher law, grow into the spirit's freedom, free from the lower or ignorant response to the cosmic touches, their struggles, and their subjection to the duality ceases. This does not mean insensibility to the subjection and struggles and sufferings of others, but it does mean a spiritual supremacy and freedom, which enables one to understand perfectly, put the right value on things, and heal from above, instead of struggling from below. It does not inhibit the divine compassion and helpfulness, but it does inhibit the human and animal sorrow and suffering. The link between the spiritual and the lower planes of the being, that which is called in the old Vedantic phraseology the Vijnana, and which we may describe in our modern turn of language as the truth plane, or the ideal mind, or supermind. There, the one and the many meet, and our being is freely open to the revealing light of the divine truth, and the inspiration of the divine will and knowledge. If we can break down the veil of the intellectual, emotional, sensational mind, which our ordinary existence has built between us and the divine, we can then take up through the truth mind all our mental, vital, and physical experience and offer it up to the spiritual. This was the secret or mystic sense of the old Vedic sacrifice. To be converted into the terms of the infinite truth of Satchidananda, and we can receive the powers and illuminations of the infinite existence in forms of a divine knowledge, will, and delight to be imposed on our mentality, vitality, physical existence, till the lower members are transformed into the perfect vessel of the higher nature. This was the double Vedic movement of the descent and birth of the gods in the human creature, and the ascent of the human powers that struggle towards the divine knowledge, power, and delight, and climb into the Godheads, the result of which was the possession of the One, the Infinite, the beatific existence, the union with God, the immortality. By possession of this ideal plane, we break down entirely the opposition of the lower and the higher existence, the false gulf created by the ignorance between the finite and the infinite, God and nature, the one and the many. Open the gates of the divine, fulfill the individual in the complete harmony of the cosmic consciousness, and realize in the cosmic being the epiphany of the transcendent Satchidananda. And these results, which obtained on the supramental plane itself, or beyond, would be the highest perfection of the human being. We can attain to partially in a very modified way, in a sort of mental figure, by awakening into activity on the corresponding plane of the mental nature. We can get a luminous shadow of that perfect harmony and light. But this belongs to another part of our subject. It is the knowledge on which we must found our yoga of self-perfection. End of chapter 15, The Cosmic Consciousness.